There are two statements in Chazal comparing the nevuah of Bilam with the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they need to be understood because they seem totally surprising to us. The first one is in Parshas Vizos HaBracha on the Pasuk in Dvarim Lamedalet. It says, "Lo kam navi od bi Yisrael kemoshe, asher yado Hashem ponim el ponim." And the Sifri comments, "Bi Yisrael lo kam, aval bi umos ha'olam kam." Umanu, and who is this person, Bilma? So the Pasuk goes out of its way to point out that in Klal Yisrael we don't find any other Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. No one's in the same level. But the implication is that in Umas Olam, amongst the nations of the world, there is a Nevuah that in some sense, we have to figure out what that means, is as great as that of Moshe Rabbeinu. We have a second statement in Chazal, which also seems to elevate the level of Bilam, or isolate the level of Nevuas Bilam. The Gemara says in Bava Basra on Daf Yudalim in Beis, Mik Savan. In other words, who wrote the Tanakh? Now, of course, Tanakh is divided into three parts. There's Torah, there's Nevi'im, and Ksuvin. It says here, Moshe Kosav Sifro. Now, Pashtus, the simple pshat here in Sifro would be the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. That's called Torah's Moshe. There is something called Sefer Torah Moshe. We'll see about that later. But Torah Moshe refers to all the five books of Moses, what we call the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And then it says, Uparshas Bilam V'Iov. Now, let's leave out Parshas Bilam for just a second. Let's focus on the word Iov. Now, if Chazal, the Gemara Bava Basra, wants to tell me that Moshe wrote Iov, that's a big chiddush, because Iov is not part of Chamisha Chumshei Torah. Iov is part of Ksuvim. And Moshe Rabbeinu could have been, Shalom Aleichem, my wife, could have been the author of the five books of Moses, but he's not the author of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So the big chiddush here is that Moshe Rabbeinu is the author of Iov. But then it says Parshas Bilam, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the author of Parshas Bilam. Now Parshas Bilam is part of the Torah. It's part of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu obviously authored all of the Torah, including Parshas Bilam. Well, what's the big deal, the chiddush that the Gemara wants to tell us, that you should know the Parshas Bilam was written by Moshe Rabbeinu? So if you take a look in the second paragraph, he says that when Chazal point out that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author of Sefer Iov, which is one of Ksuvim, then that's a big chiddush. You know, we wouldn't have thought, it wouldn't have entered our minds that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author of Iov. We don't find that Moshe Rabbeinu was the author of any of the Nevi'im, and certainly not the Ksuvim. So this is a chiddush. And when we talk about Moshe writing the Torah, the concept of Ksivas Moshe, that's a unique concept, because the Rambam tells us that what does it mean that Moshe wrote the Torah? And that means Mipiv Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Toch Oznov Shel Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally dictated the Torah word for word into the ears of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not like the Nevi'im that saw images and they defined and formulated sentences and paragraphs. No, in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a ksiva. Ksiva means that Moshe is simply a scribe. Like if I would tell a scribe what to write and I give him a dictation, that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was with regard to the Torah. And the clarity of Moshe Rabbeinu hearing the words from Hashem is called aspaklaria me'ira. There was no room for any ambiguity, any confusion. Like if you've ever had a dream and then you wake up and you try to think, what did I see and what did I not see? It's not, usually it's not crystal clear.
He identified himself with what he was writing.
Correct, and he was able to hear it and see it. Everything was crystal clear. On the other hand, other nevuos, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, that's on a darga acheres. That's called koach hamedume. Koach hamedame is the imagination. Now it's there, the the prophet has to utilize his various powers and faculties of imagination. In Moshe Rabbeinu's case, just like I look like at you and I see you, I don't need to imagine what you look like. The same thing is true for Moshe Rabbeinu. But what was Chazal trying to tell us about the parsha of Bilam? Obviously, the parsha of Bilam was dictated to Moshe like any other parsha in the Torah. Now, for example, there are many stories in the Torah. There are stories about Yaakov, there are stories about Yosef and his dreams, Paro and his dreams. Does the Gemara have to feel compelled to tell me that all these stories, all these episodes were written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Was there a Hav Hamina that the dialogue between between Paro and Yaakov, or Yosef and his brothers, was not written by Moshe Rabbeinu? Obviously, it was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the ksiva of Moshe Rabbeinu. So why do you have to tell me, the Gemara Bava Basra has to tell me, that the Parsha of Bilam, like the rest of the Torah, was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's the ksiva of Moshe Rabbeinu. And again, what does it mean when we say that Moshe Kasav Sifro? As I said before, the word Sifro can be interpreted in one of two ways. There's a chiddush here from the Meshech Chachma that whenever it says Sefer Torah Moshe, that's a reference to Chumash Dvarim. Whenever it says Torah Moshe, that's a reference to Chamisha Chumshei Torah. So for example, in Sefer Malachi, at the very end of Tanakh, it says Zichru Torah Moshe Avdi, that Torah Moshe is the five books of the Chumash. But when it says Sefer Torah Moshe, Kakosu B'Sefer Torah Moshe, that Sefer, says the Meshech Chachma, refers to Sefer Dvarim. Now, this is not for us today, but in the context of the Meshech Chachma, Sefer Dvarim is very unique in that Moshe Rabbeinu's words in Sefer Dvarim are very close to what Hashem tells him to write down in the Torah. Very minimum gap or discrepancy between what Hashem tells Moshe to write in Sefer Dvarim and as Moshe himself formulated. Sefer Dvarim is made up of a Musash Mus that Moshe Rabbeinu gives when he departs from Klal Yisrael. The language of Moshe is very, very close to the style of the Torah as we have it. That's called Sefer Torah Moshe. It's almost as if Moshe wrote the Sefer with his own language. But when we talk about Torah Moshe incorporates the entire Chamisha Chumshei Torah, including Parshas Bilam. So what's the emphasis here that Parshas Bilam was written by Moshe Rabbeinu? So what we're going to do now for the remainder of this essay is we're going to study the Sfarno. Now, first let's give a little word of introduction. Where is this Sfarno? This Sfarno is not in Parshas Balak, but it's very relevant to the whole concept of Nevuas Bilam. This Sfarno is at the end of Parshas Baaloscha. Does anybody remember what happens? What episode happens at the end of Parshas Baaloscha? I'll give you a hint that had to do with Miriam and Aaron and Moshe. Correct. That Miriam speaks Lashon Hara. Miriam and Aaron against Moshe Rabbeinu. And basically Miriam is objecting to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has to separate himself from his wife. And she claims, "Gambanu Dibur Hashem. Hashem spoke to us, and we didn't have to separate ourselves from our. We didn't have to completely terminate our married life. Why does Moshe Rabbeinu feel that he has to do such a thing?" And in response to that lashon hara of Miriam and Aaron, Hashem at the end of Parshas Baaloscha
is different.
Exactly, he formulates the unique level of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. That Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu supersedes the Nevuah of all other Nevi'im, and as a result, Moshe Rabbeinu separates from his wife. And there, the Sfarno is commenting on Perek Yudbeis Pasuk Vav Im Yia Nevi'achem, where Hashem says that the other Nevi'im are different. And the Sfarno writes, Im Haya Moshe Navi Biosa Madrega Shechashavtem, if you think that Moshe's Nevuah was on the same level as that of the other prophets, Biomarchem, as you claim, as you state, Halo Gambanu Dibur Hashem, Hashem spoke to us as well. So the answer is, Hashem Bimare Elov Esvada. Those are the four key words that isolate, that single out the great level of Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu. What's unique about it? Hashem b'mara elov esvada. Esvada means that Moshe knows God in a very unique way. Lo hayisi nodalo. If Moshe was the same level of prophecy like all the other prophets, then Hashem says he wouldn't have revealed himself to Moshe in such a way that Moshe could know God. And not only that, v'nigla elov b'zeh Hashem, that God presents himself, reveals himself to other Nevi'im with the name Elohim. But in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, the holiest name of a God, which is Yud Kei Vav Kei, what's called Shem Havaya, is the way that Hashem transmits his Nevuah to Moshe Rabbeinu. So with regard to the other Nevu'im, we don't have this Madrega of Shem Hashem, of Yud Kei Vav Kei. And therefore the Nevuah, the Navi, when he receives his Nevuah, he doesn't receive it in that close relationship with Hashem of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and therefore it's not Nodalo, the way it is by Moshe Rabbeinu. But rather with regard to other Nevi'im, Ela Bimara. Bimara Hashem appears in some sort of a vision. And not only that, the Lashon Nekeva is used. Nekeva is used to refer to the weaker gender. In other words, when Chazal want to speak about Moshe Rabbeinu becoming weak, like for example, after certain episodes and sins of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was shaking, he couldn't stand on 2 feet in a firm way, Chazal speak about Kocha, Toshash Kocha Shel Moshe Kinekeva. That's called a weakness. So also the power of Nevuah of other Nevi'im is always compared to the Nekeva. It's a weaker koach. For Loba Hakitz. Now we have 5 senses and we use them very acutely when we're awake, but when we're asleep, the 5 senses are really in a dormant state. And that's what Nevuah is with regard to all other Nevi'im. It's never the Hakitz. The Navi is never awake. He has this dream, this vision, while he's asleep. Whereas in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's panim el panim. Moshe Rabbeinu is not asleep. He's perfectly awake, and it's face to face, like I talk to you. That's the level of Moshe Rabbeinu.
And this is the reason why he had to be separated from his wife, because he didn't know in advance. It could be in any moment, even during the day.
What were you going to say, Yaakov? I'm sorry.
No, well, here first.
Yeah,
I'm sorry to spoil your flow. Why should there be such a stumbling block for the other prophets? They're doing Hashem's work.
I'll tell you why.
If they're doing Hashem's work, so what's the...
Because what we want to separate is Torah and Nevuah. Torah, that means the 5 books of Moses, has a special status. For example, with regard to Torah, we have halacha that's called Shivim Panim LaTorah. There are deeper and deeper meanings in the Torah. With regard to Torah, there's a special state or system of punishments. With regard to Torah, we have Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. All this is very unique to the Torah itself. The Torah is on a special level. And that's why Hashem, over and over again, points out something that maybe Miriam and Aaron didn't realize, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is essentially, qualitatively, a different entity. So that's what we're studying now. Yeah, that's why the Torah itself is a different entity.
Yeah, but excuse me, they're just passing over, do this, do that. I mean... I can't tell.
Well, again, the other Nevi'im didn't reach this level. You know, in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu.
Well, what's the problem? They're trying to convey to the people to do this, do that.
Is that mine?
No, I'm
just saying that.
I know you're talking about Torah, I'm talking about.
But in order to have that face to face relationship of Panim El Panim, you'd have to be as great as Moshe. Moshe represents the highest level that a human being could achieve. The Rambam tells us that Moshe reached the perfection, the shlemus, that no other human being is capable of reaching. And how does that express itself? Panim el panim dibra Hashem. Esvada elav. Moshe Rabbeinu is almost like a being, if I could say, that belongs to a different world, a different universe. This, no other Navi was capable of reaching that level.
This is also why it was so dangerous, on the episode of Korach.
Correct. All those rebellions against Moshe, you know, whether it's Eldad and Mada, whether it's Medad, whether it's Korah, it's all indicative of those who were trying to undermine that special status of Moshe, which basically means to undermine and question the entire Torah. Exactly. Because if you don't believe that Moshe Rabbeinu has a special level of Parim El Parim, then the whole Torah falls apart. But let's see if we can get a, you know, we're only touching the tip of the iceberg. What we're ultimately wanting to do is we want to create a list of unique qualities of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then we want to see if Bilam has any of those unique qualities of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's our goal for today, and we'll see if the Svarna will help us achieve that goal. Says the Svarna, Kmo Shahaya Inya, Bi Yeshaya, Bi Omro, Vi Ere, Es Hashem, Yoshev, Hakise Ram, Venisa, Vechein, Vimichio, Ra'isi Es Hashem, Yoshev, Alkiso. With regard to other Nevi'im, they describe something that they see in a vision. Calls it the Mara Nevuah, Belis Safek, Velo Behakitz. These are not experiences of prophecy when the prophet is awake. The prophet cannot tolerate this close relationship with Hashem. He cannot. He's not fortified enough. He's not strong enough. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to reach that level where he can talk to Hashem, Panim El Panim. And here, before we go on in the Sfarno, he makes reference to the Rambam in Perek Zayin Milchus Yisodei HaTorah. And the Rambam there compares and contrasts Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah with the Nevi'im, the other Nevi'im. He says, Nevi'im in general have different levels, says the Rambam. Just like, for example, you talk about a Chacham, right? Some have the level of Chachma that reaches X, and some have a greater level of Chachma, and greater and greater and greater. So too, with regard to Nevuah, there are greater and greater gradations or levels of Nevuah. The Kulon, but what's common, says the Rambam, to all the Nevi'im, with the exception of Moshe Rabbeinu, is She'ein Roin Mara Nevuah Ela B'Chalom. They only see their vision in a dream, B'Chizayon Laila, in a nightly vision, or Bayom, or perhaps during the day, but Achar She'tipol Aleihem Tardema, when they're in a deep state of slumber. With regard to the other Nevi'im, it's always Mara. Mara means a Mara Nevuah. And the Rambam goes on to say that whenever a Navi has an experience of Nevuah, his physical body is completely shaken up, shooken up. Mizdazim koach aguf. The body becomes weak so that the spiritual element in man can somehow be high profile, you know, could emerge in a very profound way and now connect with the Mara Nevuah. And therefore Avraham Avinu says, Vehine Ema Chashecha Gdolin Ofelas Olav. With regard to Avraham Avinu, he's overwhelmed by an awesome state of fear. Or with regard to Daniel, Vahodi Nepach Alai Lemashchis Velo Atzarti Koach. Somehow my splendor was overcome by a destructive force, and I wasn't able to maintain my strength. So now again, the contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im is that Moshe Rabbeinu experiences Nevuah when he's awake, his body is in perfect condition, his senses are not dulled, his body is not shaking or weak, it's kiponim el ponim, clear, without any ambiguity, direct, there's no hints, there are no visions, there are no parables, there's no interpretation. It's Panim El Panim. It's Moshe looking at Hashem, Hashem looking at Moshe, and they're speaking to each other like two human beings would speak to each other, Kavi Yochum. And Bilam, oh, now we get to Bilam. Oh, Bilam has one level of overlap with Moshe Rabbeinu. And what is that? He says, Hadibur Elo Bahakits. Right? Bilam describes himself in our parasha as Nofel Vigalui Einayim. Galui Einayim means my eyes are open, so to speak. You know, he's awake. But nevertheless, even though he has that commonality with Moshe, so again, the lowest common denominator between Nevuas Moshe and Nevuas Bilam is that they both experience Nevuah in a state of awake. They're both awake, they're not sleeping. Mm. However, that doesn't mean that it's the same quality of Nevuah, because lo hayalo b'shem hamiyuchad, as we said before, only Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah with God's holiest name, the Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, with all the other Nevi'im, it's Elohim. Kasha Choshev Hu Bi'omro, although Bilam had aspirations, he had hopes that he would reach, he would attain the level of Nevuah B'Shem Hashem, B'Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and that's why he declares, Ulai Yikra Yud-Kei Vav-Kei Likrasi. Perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, would chance upon me, would come to greet me with a Nevuah. Ki Zeh Omnom Lo Ola B'Yadav. But he never actually succeeded in realizing that hope and that dream, that aspiration. He was always in a matzav of Goli Einayim, which means Vahakitz. He was able to function with his sense perceptions, but nevertheless, he did not have the power of Nevuah of Shem Havaya. But rather, the Pasuk says, Nemar Bo, quote, Vayikar Elokim El Bilon. Elokim is the name of Hashem that's on a lower level than Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So again, we have two groups of Nevuah. We have a Nevuah Bahakitz. Hakitz means awake, as opposed to a nightly vision. From the perspective of this classification of Nevuah, Bilam fits into the same category as Moshe Rabbeinu. They were both Bahakitz. But number two, we have a second category, Me'eis Hashem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, as opposed to Elokim. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is unique. Bilam tries and aspires to reach that level. He doesn't succeed. Now the Sfarno continues. When Hashem tells Miriam and Aaron about the uniqueness of Moshe, he says, Lochein avdi Moshe. Moshe is different, says the Sfarno. Shadibur imo b'shem ha-miyuchadu u'bahakitz. Moshe Rabbeinu has these two advantages that makes him his nevuah supersede that of all the other Nevi'im. Number one, it's Bahakitz, he's awake. And number two, it's B'Shem Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. V'zeh Bir Amro, and this is what we can understand when Hashem says Lochein Avdi Moshe. Lochein Avdi Moshe meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is unique in that it has this combination of those two factors. It has number one, the Maila of Hakitz, and number two, the Maila of Shema Miyuchat. Now, you could say the following, that the Maila Bahakids refers to the person, meaning the prophet himself, he's awake. The Maila of Shem Hashem, that has to do with the Nevuah per se. Mm-hmm. Not the person, but the Nevuah. The essence, the level of the Nevuah, the Heft of the Nevuah, the essence of the Nevuah. Then Hashem says, Peh el peh adaber bo. I will speak to Moshe Rabbeinu mouth to mouth. Says the Sfarnu Shanavua Elov who built the Tardemas Chushov. Peh el peh means that the Navi does not have to negate or dull in any of his senses. His senses are perfect. And then the Sfarnu says, Lashon Zachar, that with regard to the description of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, it's the Lashon Zachar Mare, and that's called Aspaklaria Meira in the language of Chazal. Again, Zachar means strong, powerful, crystal clear. Velo Bechidos, and there are no riddles. Dibur Mevur Belichida, it's an absolutely crystal clear speech, the content of which is like day. There are no riddles over here. There are no symbols or parables. Lo ke'inyan, in contrast to, let's say, Zechariah. He gives the example of Zechariah of Zuloso and all the other Nevi'im. Sherah, Zechariah, so chidos u'misholim. Everything was in parables and metaphors. V'omalo ha-malach. Here you can turn to the next page. The Malach turns to him and says, Alo yadata ma hema ela. The Malach shows Zechariah a vision of a beautiful golden menorah, you know, with a kanim, and there are atzei zayis, you know, there are olive trees, and they're dripping oil into the menorah. And guess what? Zechariah doesn't know how to interpret it. What is the nimshal in this mashal? And the Malach says, Lo yodata mahem. You know, if you work hard, you'll figure it out. The Omar and Zachari says, Lo Adoni. You know, it's the Malach himself had to come and interpret the vision and the metaphor and to explain to him about the building of the second Beis HaMikdash at that time. Zachari was the Navi that foretold the second Mikdash. But how is Zachariah successful at understanding the Nevuah? Only because of the result of the Malach, who explained to him what he was seeing. The vision itself was unclear in the eyes of Zachariah. Such a thing could never happen with regard in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu.
Can we say that Zachar means that you are active and you fully understand what is going to happen? And the Kevah is you just receive it without having the full comprehension of what you received.
For sure. The Sfarno goes on, he says, Mehem Hayu Shero Es HaMisholim. There was a higher level of Nevuah than that of Zachariah, where they actually saw the Mashal, you know, the vision and the parable. They were again asleep, but they understood it. Ve'evinu osam. They didn't need the conduit, the teacher of a Malach, to lefaneach, you know, to take it apart and interpret it. Ke'inyan, for example, by Yirmiyahu, it says, Heitavto liros. You understood the re'iyah, that vision that you saw. Uke'inyan bilam bi'amro vayisa mishalo. What does it mean, vayisa mishalo? So there are many different interpretations of that possible, but one is that he understood the mashal. He got, you know, he saw the vision and he understood exactly what it meant to convey. Kibitchila, higid ha-mashal sharah. At the beginning of his nevuah, he first described the mashal that he saw, the achikach bir also. And later on, in the second stage, second level, the Navi was able to interpret that mashal and explain what the nimshal is. That's vayisa mishalo, ra'asa mishal, vayomer, and then he was able to translate that mashal into real terms, into concrete terms. So we now have three levels of nevuah. We have one, all of which are below the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, we have the Mashal and the Chida, a puzzle or a parable that was seen in a vision at night during a dream, and it was only explained to the Navi through a Malach. That's what we saw by Zechariah. Then we have another level that reaches a little bit higher level, where the Navi sees the Chida and the Mashal in a dream, but he himself, independent of a Malach, is able to interpret that. And then we get the highest level of the three, all below Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's a Mashal Chida Behakitz, when the vision appears to a Navi when he's awake and he's fully in control of his five senses. That's going to be the level of Bilam. But all these levels are below that of Moshe Rabbeinu. With Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no mashal whatsoever, no chida, there's no hints, and there's no riddles and parables, nothing. It's just straight talk, you know, to the point and crystal clear. And then it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Utmunas Hashem Yabit. So the Sfarno adds, what does it mean, Tfunas Hashem Yabit? He's able to see this image. Kol zehu masig im ha'igolus elu b'shem ha'miyuchad, as a result of the fact that Hashem appears to Moshe Rabbeinu with the holiest name of Yudke Vavke, and again Moshe Rabbeinu is awake, that is a very powerful revelation to Moshe, and that's called Tmunas Hashem Yabit. Again, we only find it by Moshe Rabbeinu because his galus, the revelation of God, was with the shame Yudke Vavke. Lo kebilam, in contrast to Bilam, she'im ze shelo hesig el derech mashal, in addition to the fact that Bilam did not get a clear communication from God, he only had a derech mashal, but in addition to that, ha'isa ha'sagasa b'shem elokim bilvad, lo b'shem ha'miyuchad. So again, let's go back to our original question that we started with. The Sifri in Parshas Vizol Sabracha on the Pasuk of Elokam Navi Od B'Yisrael Kemoshe. There's no other Navi in Israel like Moshe. says V'Yisrael Lokama V'Umas Olam Kam Umanu Bilam. So what's unique about Bilam that puts him up to the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu? It's that it's a Nevuah B'Hakitz. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu is awake in control of his senses, so too Bilam receives his Nevuah when he's awake in control of his senses. And there's a Madrega called Panim El Panim, and that's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, now at this point, from the paragraph of Ubazeh, we have completed the presentation of the Svarna. And now what we want to do is go back to the Gemara in Baba Basra that we began with. And the Gemara asks, who wrote the Parsha of Bilam? And the answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Parsha of Bilam. Perhaps now we can understand what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Parsha of Bilam. Why would we think otherwise? I mean, there were so many different stories in the Chumash, like the dialogue between Yaakov and Paro, or the dialogue between Paro and Yosef when he had his dreams, Yosef and his brothers when he interpreted his brothers' dreams. There's so many different stories, and we know that all of them were written in a certain specific form, word for word, dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's called Moshe Kosav. The ksiva of Moshe means mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu li'ozno shel Moshe, as we said at the outset. It goes from God's mouth into Moshe's ears. So now that it's kasuv, now that it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu through the dictation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we apply the principle of shivim panim la'Torah. We can now understand the Torah in 70 different ways. And every single perspective is another way of understanding the Torah, because the Shlemus, the perfection of the Torah, is made up like a prison of so many different interpretations and perspectives. Why then does the Gemara have to emphasize that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Parsha of Bilam? And the answer is, and you'll see it in bold print, Hoya Ola Al Datenu, we had a Havamina to think Shem Moshe Heetik Es Hanavuos Kefi Nuscho Shenuschu Al Yidei Bilam. Perhaps the exact word for word presentation of Bilam is exactly what Moshe wrote. In other words, we have a Havamina here that because of the unique level of the Nevuah of Bilam that we spoke about, in other words, that Bilam received the Nevuah not Panim El Panim, but while he was awake, Bahakitz Panim Bifanim, we might think that since Bilam's Nevuah was such that he was able to hear the word of God while he was awake, in control, as we said, of his senses, Bahakitz, we might think that exactly the words of Bilam are the words that are written in the Torah, as opposed to the rest of the Torah, where, you know, Yosef may have said such words, and Paro said such words, Yaakov said this. That's not exactly how it's written in the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu had to hear the dictation mipiv shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'toch aznav. Maybe in the case of Bilam, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to do that. He didn't have to wait until Hashem would dictate the ksivas haTorah. The words of the Torah are the words of Bilam himself, because after all, Bilam was awake when he received his nevuah. Kamash Malan. Now we get to the final conclusion of the Gemara Baba Basra, and that is that even though Bilam received the experience of Nevuah when he was awake, even so, that experience of Nevuah is not at all similar to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, who's awake. They're both awake, but we have many other distinctions and contrasts between the Nevuah of Moshe and the Nevuah of Bilam. For example, we spoke about the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu has a certain clarity, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not affected by the Nevuah, his body is not affected, but most important, that the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu comes from the Shem Hashem. So all the Nevuahs, including the Nevuah of Bilam, require ksiva al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. They must be written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's true for the entire Torah. It's got to come from Hashem mipiv el oznav. And in fact, the Sfarno seems to indicate that Bilam himself confessed that he did not reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, because he says, "Ulai yikra Hashem lekrosi." Maybe I'll merit that God will give me this nevuah of Yud Kei Vav Kei. Says the Sfarno, no. Ulai bizbodidi. Maybe Bilam says, when I contemplate, afal pishlo asig lalos li or pnei melech. Even if I won't reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is the level of Or Pnei HaMelech, to see the light of the countenance of the king, Ki Omer B'chol Beisi Nemanu, that Moshe Rabbeinu is like in the bias of Hashem, in the castle or the palace of the king, and he's able to see at least the light, the supernal divine light of the Pnei HaMelech. Says Bilam, Yikroli, maybe on one occasion, Yavo Hashem Likrosi, Yud Kei Vav Kei will come towards me. Ukmo Shehoya Ha'inyan B'Moshe B'Tchilas Nevuoso. Imagine, Moshe Rabbeinu himself climbs the ladder of Nevuah, even at the most basic level of his Nevuah, which is at the Sneh, at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, the first encounter between Moshe and Hashem. That's the Tchilas Nevuoso. Konem Sha'ola al Hashlemus, before Moshe reached the perfection. Shehisig Akkach, which attained later. And yet the Pasuk says in Shmos Per Gimel, at the first encounter between Hashem and Moshe, Vayar Hashem Kisar Liros. And again, the Pasuk starts with Yud Kei Vav Kei. Vayikra Elav Elokim. Again, there still is Elokim here. Moshe Rabbeinu hasn't attained his highest level of Nevuah, but it's already at the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu's career as a Navi. It's Vayar Hashem, and Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei sees him. With regard to Bilam, we'll just finish this paragraph and then the floor is yours, is it doesn't say Vayikra Hashem. It doesn't say that God called to Bilam with the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, even when Bilam reaches his highest level of Nevuah. It's still lower than the lowest level of Moshe's Nevuah. It doesn't say Vayikra Yud Kei Vav Kei. It doesn't even say Vayikra Elokim. Vayikra means Elokim called out to him. Ela, but the Pasuk says Vayakar Elokim. And Rashi points out on Vayakar, Miloshen Mikra. It's like happenstance. So that even in his highest achievement, the highest level that Bilam is able to achieve, he still doesn't reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah when Moshe begins his Nevuah with Vayar Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yeah.
No, and now I don't understand why Vayakar. What do we mean by
Vayakar?
Yeah.
Vayakar means, you know what? Bilam was not really, he wasn't really prepared for Nevuah. You know, when a Navi prepares for Nevuah, then Hashem calls out to him because he attains a certain level. And Hashem, everything is prepared. It's like an appointment that you have with the king. You know, the king looks at his appointment book and he says, so-and-so is coming to see me at such a time. Everything is planned out. Why? Because it was there was a hachana, there was a preparation. Not in the case of Bilam. Bilam was a lowlife. He wasn't prepared for Nevuah. Hashem gave him Nevuah as a gratis, as a gift, for other reasons, because of Kvod Yisrael and so forth and so on. But as far as Bilam as a person, he was hardly in the level of a Navi. He was on the lowest level spiritually. He wasn't even able to fulfill the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. But Vayikar Elokim, because God needed to show the heathens that they also had the opportunity of receiving prophecy, he singled out Bilam, and that's called Vayikar. Vayikar means, you know, Hashem sort of, we call it in Hebrew, Kelach Hayad, you know, meaning behind the back, Hashem gives him this experience of Nevuah for other purposes. But to say that there was a pre-prepared meeting between Almighty God and Bilam, and God called out to Bilam, even in the name Elohim, that we don't find. We find Vayikar Elohim, that's called a Lashon Aroi. Aroi means a temporary language.
Now, am I wrong, or he did go to speak to Hashem?
That what?
He went to speak to Hashem.
But without any preparation. You know, the Rambam in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah speaks about the great preparation that a person has to undergo before he can reach Nevuah, step by step. Many different madrigas. Nevuah is the highest madriga after achieving many, many levels. That wasn't the case of Bilam. You know, maybe he set up a physical location. He looked for Hashem because he thought that maybe there Hashem would allow him to curse the people of Israel. But he certainly didn't prepare himself for a meeting with God, and God didn't approach him and invite him to this Nevuah. It was all Vayikar. The only commonality between Nevuah's Bilam and the highest Madrega, namely of Moshe, is that it's Bahakitz. And there was a Hava, meaning we would have thought that since it was Bahakitz and Bilam is in full control of his senses, that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu just had to copy over the Nevuah of Bilam. He didn't have to hear it through the whole process of Ksiva, as we said, the Piv, Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, that's not so. Vishema, if you have that paragraph, Vishema, we're coming towards the end of this essay, he suggests that when it says Moshe Kosav Sifro, right, let's go back to the Gemara Bava Basra we began with, it says that Moshe Kosav Sifro, and if you recall, the Meshech Chachma was of the opinion that when it says Torah Moshe, it's a reference to all five books of Moses. But when it says Sefer Torah Moshe, that's a reference to Chumash Dvarim. So it's possible to say that when the Gemara points out that Moshe Kosav Sifro, according to the Meshech Chachma at least, maybe the Gemara has in mind Chumash Dvarim, because Moshe has a very active role to play in Chumash Dvarim. The Chumash starts with Hoil Moshe Bi'er Es HaTorah. Moshe already speaks words of Torah, and the style of Chumash Dvarim is very much the style of Moshe. And if that be the case, then the Havamina Gabi Bilam was even a stronger Havamina, because Moshe played a role, an active role, in the writing of Chumash, or in the formulating of Chumash Dvarim. Moshe Rabbeinu, to some extent, was the author of Chumash Dvarim. Again, I don't want anyone to walk out of here misunderstanding. Chumash Dvarim was dictated to Moshe like all the other four books of Moses. But the style and the language of Chumash Dvarim is much closer, if you will, to the style and the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, of course, take the language of Moshe Rabbeinu and give it what we call in Hebrew the Geshpanka, you know, give it the Ishur that this is word for word what's in the Torah. Now, let's apply this to the case of Bilam. Salkedaitachamina, I might think that if we find by Moshe Rabbeinu with regard to Chumash Dvarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he's a human being, he can suggest and formulate a Megillah Shel Torah. Megillah Shel Torah means the words of the Torah before they're elevated through the Ksiva of Moshe Rabbeinu to the status of a Chefetz Shel Torah. And why is this so? How is Moshe Rabbeinu in Chumash Dvarim able to attain that level of formulating a Megillah Shel Torah, which eventually be incorporated into the Torah itself? And the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu has the Madrega of Panim El Panim, that he speaks to God face to face. He's not awake, he's not asleep, he's awake. Is Shema, I might think that there could be possibly another Navi besides Moshe Rabbeinu who would receive his Nevuah Bidarga at that level of Bahakitz, when he's awake and in control of his senses, and maybe he too could write a Nevuah as if it were Mipi Hashem. And then that Nevuah could be introduced into the Kasuv. Again, the Kasuv, that's the key word here. The Kasuv Shel Torah means the way Hashem dictates the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. It becomes part of this corpus called the Torah, which lends itself to Shivim Panim LaTorah. So once again, because Bilam overlaps with Moshe Rabbeinu in this one point of Bahakitz, we might think that just like in the case of Sefer Dvarim, that's the Sefer Shel Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu formulates the Torah in words that are very, very similar to the ultimate Kasuv, which Hashem dictates to Moshe, meaning there's no great gap between Moshe's words, his formulation, his sentences and paragraphs, and that of the final Ksiva, when it becomes elevated from the level of Megillah to the level of Torah. So too, if Lo Yitzir, we would have another Navi who would reach that level of Moshe Rabbeinu, that he hears from Hashem, even when he's awake, right? We call the Panim Bifanim, is maybe he too could create such a Megillah, and it's not really part of Sefer Torah Moshe, because again, although it has to be elevated and given that final Geshpanka, you know, that final okay, the seal, the notarized, you know, notarized seal that elevates it to the status of Torah through the Ksiv of Moshe, but nevertheless, it's really the Sefer of Bilam. And Kamash Malon, but the Gemara in Bava Basra says, no, even though Bilam had this Vahakitz, nevertheless, it's not the Sefer of Bilam, it's the Sefer of Moshe, meaning that even as a Megillah, Bilam is not capable of reaching that level. And if we'll never call it Sefer Bilam, in the case of Sefer Dvarim, we call it Sefer Shel Moshe, because again, Moshe wrote it as a Megillah. In the case of Bilam, Bilam doesn't reach this level of Megillah. That's what I'm saying.
If we stop here, why then Lokam BeYisrael?
BeYisrael, no one reaches the level of
Bahá'í. It would be necessary, BeYisrael. Lokam BeMoshe, Navi KeMoshe.
BeYisrael, meaning that in Yisrael is no one who will or ever reach the level of Bahakids, but in Umas HaOlam there's a level of Bahakids. Correct. But not that we're equating the Nevuah of Bilam with that of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's one overlap. Again, what you have here is like this. You have a whole list that we went through in the Sfarno of all the qualities of Nevuah Moshe. On the other side of your scorecard, we have all the other Nevi'im. And they have none of those qualities that we mentioned.
They don't have the hiccup.
Bilam has list of Moshe Rabbeinu, he has one overlap. That's why I called it an overlap. And that's called Bahakitz. And he ends this presentation with the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel asks the following question. Yaakov Avinu in Breishis Lamed Beis says, Ki ra'isi Elokim panim el panim vatinotz el nafshi. Says the Abarbanel, I don't understand. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could say that he experienced God panim el panim. That's unique to Moshe Rabbeinu, as we saw at the end of Parshas Baal Loscha. How then?
This is when in the Bereshit were
Lamed Beis. This is after he fights with the Malach. And he says, "Ra'isi Elokim panim el panim," and I survived. Yeah. That's when God changes his name from Yaakov to Yisrael. So what, says the Barbanel, is panim el panim with regard to Yaakov Avinu, with all due respect to Yaakov, but he doesn't reach the level of panim el panim, which is unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the Barbanel, I have two answers. Number one, if you take a look at the pasuk again, it says Elokim panim el panim. And that means that Yaakov Avinu doesn't reach the level of Yud Kei Vav Kei Shem Havaya, he reaches the level of Elokim. And furthermore, with Yaakov, it's called Ra'isi, Re'iyah. With regard to Moshe, in contrast, it says Yediyah, Asher Yado Hashem Ponim El Ponim. Yediyah means to know God intimately. Re'iyah means to have a vision of God. And it's very possible to suggest that Yaakov Avinu is saying something, what's called a Dibur Yashar, means that sometimes the Torah records exactly what someone said. It's a quote from someone. That's called a Dibur Yashir. And in this case, it could be that Yaakov Avinu was saying something that he perceived in his experience. You know, the way Yaakov describes his own personal experience, he declares, he exclaims, Ki ra'isi Elokim panim el panim vatinotz el nafshi. But although this is MS, because this is the way Yaakov perceived it, it's not the truth in comparison to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, do you have an essay called Ma Bein Avraham Avinu LeBilam HaRasha? Did I photocopy that for you?
No.
Okay, how many more minutes? Do we have another 10 minutes, let's say?
For me, yes.
Okay, anyone who could stay for 10 minutes. There's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Avos that asks the following question. Ma Bein Talmidav Shel Avraham Avinu LeTalmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha? And the problem that we want to raise is the Mishnah in Avos is talking about the students of Avraham Avinu, the students, the disciples of Bilam HaRasha. Why didn't they ask Ma Bein Avraham Avinu LeBilam HaRasha? Why didn't they go back to the level of the Rav himself rather than the Talmud? You know, we're comparing these Talmudim to those Talmudim. Compare the Rebbe to the Rebbe. So leaving that question on the side, we want to get an insight into Bilam HaRasha. And we're going to read now a kuntres called Divrei Sofrim, which was authored by Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, who was killed by the Nazis. He was a Gadol. I don't know if you know much about him. He was very close to Rabbi Chaim Brisker. He went back to Europe knowing pretty much full well that he would perish there, but he wanted to be with his flock. And there's a whole description about how he spoke to his Talmidim before the Nazis came in to take him away. Anyway, getting back to that, he says the following, that we generally classify mitzvos into two categories. For example, we speak about mitzvos asay, the positive commands, mitzvos los asay, the negative, or we talk about bein adam l'makom, between man and God, bein adam l'chaver, between man and man. We speak about mitzvos sichlios, mitzvos that are logical or rational, mitzvos shamaymios, which, you know, they're chukim, they're mitzvos that defy our rational logic. That's usually the classical way we classify mitzvos. Comes old Rebbe Elchanan, and he wants to say that there are three categories of mitzvos. What are his three categories of mitzvos? And he writes the following: Bozev shalafarish, kavonas hakosuf. What does Yirmiyahu HaNavi mean when he says, "Ubono es bamos habal lisrof es bnei v'eish alos labal ashalotzi visi velo dibarti velo olsa al libi"? Notice that threefold language of Yirmiyahu HaNavi: lo tzivisi, lo dibarti, velo olsa al libi. That's Yirmiyahu HaNavi. And if you look in the Targum, he says lo pakadis ba'oraisa, that the word lo tzivisi means I did not command it in the Torah. And then it says velo shalchis bide'avdi nevi'ahi, lo dibarti means I didn't send it to you as a command, as a mandate through my nevi'im. In other words, even beyond the Torah itself, there's divrei nevuah. And finally, what does it mean? Lo olsa libi delo ra'ua kadami. It's not my divine will. Ra'ua means will, ratzon in Hebrew. And Rabbi Elchanan points out that what the Targum is doing for us is he's taking all of the Torah and dividing it up into three parts. The first part is called tzivui, an absolute, explicit command or mandate. That's called Tariag Mitzvos. Then there's something called Dibur, which means the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im throughout the period of Jewish history, when there was prophecy, would command us in the name of God to do this, to do that, not to do this, not to do that. Then we get to the third level, when we don't have the Mitzvah, and we don't have the Dibur, meaning we don't have the Navi. What do we end with? What we're left with is Ra'ua Kedamai, Ratzon Hashem. And Rabbi Elchanan says that all the mitzvahs d'Rabbanan fit into this third category. We're going to, of course, expand the third category and give it more meaning. But let's just take mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. You know that there's machlok shin the Rambam and the Bahag, Baal Halachas Gedolos, who came before the Rambam. The Bahag counts even mitzvahs d'Rabbanan in Taryak. And the Rambam says no. Torah Tzivalonu Moshe means that there are 613 mitzvahs that were given by Moshe, and the Drabbanans are not included in the 613. The Ramban, in his great work, which is called Hasogas al Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs, he tries to defend the Bahag and try to find the source for the obligation to fulfill even mitzvahs Drabbanan. And perhaps according to Rabbi Elchanan, we now understand what exactly is the source for counting mitzvahs d'Rabbanan within the Torah. Because the Torah has these three parts, the third of which is Ratzon Hashem, which are the mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. Yeah. I would go even a step further. I would say, yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
there are 620 letters in the Ten Commandments.
Right. So we add from 613 the seven mitzvahs d'Rabbanan. But be that as it may, I thought that maybe Rabbi Elchanan would answer another question. Where is the source for the mitzvah d'Rabbanan? Some say it comes under lo sasur. But it's a little bit strange, because when you recite a bracha on Netilas Yadayim or on or on Sfiras HaOmer, or on Morar Bizman Azeh, or any other mitzvah Rabbanon like Chanukah and Purim, what's Asher Kidshanu V'Tzvosa V'Tzivanu? But maybe the Tzivu itself is written here in this pasuk of Olsa Alibi. You know, that itself gives it or upgrades it to the status of a Tzivu. But now, let's go back to Parshas Bilam. What was the sin of Bilam? Hashem says to Bilam, wait, let's go back to what Bilam says, and then we'll get to what Hashem says. Bilam declares, "In yiten li bolak melo besi kesef vizov, lo uchal lavar espi Hashem." If you give me a full treasure house of all the silver and all the gold, I cannot violate the words of God. Sounds like he's such a great tzaddik, right? So ma hoya rish also, give me just a minute, Jack, so we get our feet wet. So what is the evil here of Bilam? And the answer is that Bilam knew very well that to go and curse Klal Yisrael was a violation of the will of God. Hashem says to him, lo telech imayim.
Oh, that's an itam.
He wants to get more this.
He went in him.
Right. He says, although Bilam knew very well that halichaso lekalel es Yisrael who neged rotzen Hashem, lo chashash al zeh, he says, I don't care about the rotzen Hashem. It all depends upon whether I get a tzivui. If God doesn't tell me explicitly, don't go, then I can go. He's not interested in that level of Ratzon Hashem. When Bilam declares, Lo uchal lavor es pi Hashem. What does it mean, pi Hashem? Pi Hashem means when God speaks to me and says to me, don't go. That I can't violate. But if you're talking about Ratzon Hashem, not pi Hashem, but what God wants, that doesn't count. That's not relevant to me. And all this is from Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman in his work called Divrei Sofrin. So where does the rishus of Bilam begin? It begins with the fact that Bilam says, I'm only interested in the tzivui of Hashem, what he says to me explicitly. I'm not interested in the ratzon Hashem. That doesn't bother me one way or the other. Lo uchal lavar es pi Hashem.
But pi Hashem is itam.
Oh, so that's the next paragraph. L'chora, it's difficult. How can Rabbi Elchanan say that Bilam's sin was that he doesn't care about the Tzivri Hashem? He only cared, excuse me, about the Tzivri Hashem, the Pi Hashem, but he didn't care about the Ratzon Hashem. When the pasuk says, Lo Selech Imayim. So he got the Tzivri Hashem not to go. Oh. The answer is, that's pasuk Yud Beis in this parak of Beis. But if you take a look about 8 psukim later, fast forward to pasuk Chav, there it says Kum Lech Itam. So Hashem contradicts his original statement. He uses the phrase Apesh Asu Apesh Yitir. Initially Hashem said don't go, and then Hashem says get up and go with them, and he permitted him to go. So in a sense, from Rabbi Elchanan's perspective, the Lo Selech Imayim in Pasuk Yud Beis, the earlier Tzivui, that is an expression in which Hashem reveals His true will. The true will of God is don't go with them. But Bilam feels he's covered. You know, his bases are covered. He covered his back. Why? Because after Hashem said Lo Telech Imayim, Hashem said to him, Kum lech itam.
But it doesn't say lech imahem. This is the difference. The expression, the difference between itam and imahem, not lotelech or kentelech.
And what's the difference between itam and imahem?
I think exactly the same of what they are thinking. I'm with them also with my thought. Itam,
okay.
I'm with them only physically.
That's good. But again, just to get back to Rabbi Elchanan, you know, we'll come back to your point, Jackie, if we can later. But just Rabbi Elchanan was saying that wherein lies the evil of Bilam Bilam is saying, I don't care about the Ratzon Hashem, I care about the Tzivui Hashem. So what are we saying here? We're saying that with regard to the level of Tzivui Hashem, we have a Pesha Asur, a Pesha Hita. Hashem tells him initially, don't go, and then he says, go. That cancels, one neutralizes the other. But Bilam was meant to understand, he's not stupid, that the real will of God was expressed in the words, Lo Selech Imahem.
No.
Now, how so? That's what we have to try to understand. So if you look in the Meshech Chachma, this you'll see on the left side of your page, the Meshech Chachma says, on the post, Vayava Lukim El Bilam Laila, Vayichar Afa Lukim Ki Holechu. Hashem appears to Bilam at night, and then he gets angry that Bilam decides to go with them. Says in Meshech Chachma, and again, you might say that maybe he went Imayim, I don't know, but the Meshech Chachma gives his answer, Ki ba ha-nevuah balayla. This nevuah came at night. Misupekes umilubeshes bekoch ha-medameh. And this is very similar to what we discussed before about different levels of nevuah. If you haven't forgotten it, there's a nevuah at night when the Navi has to use his power of imagination and Hashem says things or shows visions to him in parables and Misholim, and he has to interpret them and it's not always crystal clear, as opposed to nevuah during the day. Asher berov as itosav kozev v'ein sofik motzim v'devadai v'omer lo telech. So according to the Meshech Chachma, there's a fundamental difference between the original statement in Pasuk Yud Beis, Lo Telech Imahem, that was given to Bilam during the day with all clarity, there was no doubt about it, as opposed to the second Pasuk of Kum Lech Itam, that was given at night after it says, Vayovo Lokim El Bilam Balayla, that he calls Rov Itosav Kozev. In other words, if you have a clear expression of the will of God, crystal clear, given by day, that's called Lotelech Imahem, then no doubt that Bilam understood that God doesn't want him to go with the Sarei Bolak and curse the Jewish people. That's the Ratzon Hashem. And how did Bilam understand? How do we expect of Bilam to understand that the original Lotelech Imahem is the true, genuine, ultimate Ratzon of Hashem? The answer is because that he got during the day. There was no room for question. What he got at night is already a suffix. And we have a principle called Ein Suffix Motzi Medevadai. Again, just to summarize, the bottom line of what we're saying is that although Bilam could jostle around and maybe manipulate and maneuver the different Tzivuyim of Hashem, you know, this Tzivuy against that Tzivuy, but at the end of the day, Bilam is very well aware of the Ratzon Hashem. And here in the next paragraph, we begin to understand the difference between Bilam and Lahavdil Elf Avdolos Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is the one who is the paradigm of understanding the Ratzon Hashem. And that's in the Parsha de Akedah. Because originally Hashem says to Avram, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar ilcha zara. He's going to have Yitzchak and Zera from Yitzchak. And then it says, Kachna es bincha. Take him and bring him up on the Mizbeach. And then he says, Ki bi Yitzchak yikar. And then he says, Al tishlach yodcha lanar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says...
His angel who says that is Shachar.
Right. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, I'm not going to violate my tzivui to you. I never said to you to slaughter Yitzchak. I said to you, Kachna es bincha, which means...
Haleu.
Take him up on the Mizbeach. Haleu v'askise. After you take him up, achatse. Take him down. So the question is obvious then. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gave Avram Avinu the tzivui to slaughter Yitzchak on the Mizbeach, then why was Avram Avinu just about to slaughter him? Why didn't Avram Avinu say that, well, Hashem only told me Haleu, and ask his tisei, I don't have to sheft him. If Avraham Avinu would have had even a suffix of a suffix that maybe Hashem didn't want him to slaughter his son Yitzhak, then Svek Sveka Lekula, he wouldn't have killed his own son. Why did he intend to do that? And the answer is because Avraham Avinu goes to a deeper level. He's not just analyzing the words of Hashem as a tzivui. You're right. As a tzivui, it says, Halev Sham Leola, take him on to the Mizbeach. But Avraham Avinu is analyzing the ruts on Hashem. He understands that when Hashem says, Halev Sham Leola, what he means is that Yitzhak should be brought with a full Kiyum Akrova on the Mizbeach as a Karban Ola. And Avraham Avinu is not going to be bound by the lush of the text and the words, you know, in a very limited sort of way, as a tzivui, behilchas tzivui. Avraham Avinu is interested in hilchas ratzon Hashem. He wants to fulfill the truth of his nevuah. And therefore, in the bottom paragraph, we begin to see the contrast between Avraham and Bilam. And it's all about the same issue. How to serve Hashem. And Avraham Avinu appreciates very well that to serve Hashem requires of a person to do the ratzon Hashem, ra'uah kedami. And therefore Avraham Avinu understands that he's meant to bring Yitzchak as an ola. And if that wears Bilam, oh no. He's not interested in ratzon Hashem. He understands fully well that the ratzon is lo selicha, but don't go to curse Klal Yisrael. But he's focused on the tzivui of Hashem, and Hashem says, kum lech itam. Now perhaps we can answer our original question. Why does the Mishnah say, what's the difference between the students of Avram and the students, the disciples of Bilam? Why didn't the Mishnah ask the question, what's the difference between Bilam and Avram Avinu? And the answer is that these two episodes that we are comparing and contrasting, you know, the Avram at the Akedah and Bilam going out to curse Klal Yisrael, you know what, on the level, on, shall we say, the superficial level, we can look at these two parashios and speak about Pi Hashem. Pi Hashem means the literal translation of the command of God. Lo uchal says Bilam lav al Pi Hashem. And at that level, you know what, Bilam, he doesn't look so bad. But on a deeper level, the kpeda here is not the Pi Hashem, but that man should have the desire and the ambition to fulfill the ruts on Hashem, the will of Hashem. We might not see that so clearly in that generation of Avram on the one hand and Bilam on the other, but it's going to have an impact in generations to come in the Talmidim. The difference between Avram and Bilam in the first generation could be just millimetrum, as he says, just a little millimeter. But you know, if you take two lines or you throw two balls and they're separated by a little millimeter, ultimately the distance between them will be worlds, universes apart. And that's what the scientists have proved. And in the Nimshal, the same thing is here, because Avraham Avinu is dedicated to the Ratzon Hashem. That's why he is descended from
Sosomri. Because the Ratzon was not that one, because at the end it's Ma'alehu. The real Ratzon was not.
At that point in time, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was testing Avraham, his Ratzon was that Avraham should understand that it's a real karma.
He should understand.
He should understand that the Ratzon of Hashem is to bring Yitzchak as a karma. Hashem decided, look, Avraham Avinu, you know, Ata Yadati Kirei Elokim Ata, he proved he passed the test of flying colors, and now Hashem wants Yitzchak to survive.
That means you know.
Correct. But again, I think the point is well taken, and that's what Rav Kuperman is saying here in this book, that although on one level the difference between Avram and Bilam is very subtle, but on a deeper level, it's a whole different hadracha or chinuch. You know, how do you pass on the avdus HaKadosh Baruch Hu to your sons, to your talmidim, to your disciples, if you pass it on as, you know what, let's just stick to the words, you know, of God. The mandate, the mitzvah, compare one to the other.
Excuse me.
That's where you're going to...
Uvan Aleph, there is a difference at and in.
Oh yeah, you're going back to that.
Yeah, the same meaning we started here of the Rotson and the P, is clear with the wording of et and in.
That's good. So it's not a steer to what you were saying before. It fits in very well. Okay, Rav Osai, thank you very much.
Sure,
and I think we covered quite a bit today in terms of Nevuas Moshe, Nevuas Bilam, Talmidim Shel Avraham, Talmidim Shel Bilam, and that's what we wanted to do. And Baruch Hashem, we were able to hopefully enhance our understanding of this parsha.